Volkswagen says it will accelerate its rollout of zero-emission cars, launching almost 70 new electric models by 2028, as the German carmaker pushes ever further into electromobility. But VW CEO says going electric also means job cuts are on the way. Higher investment in electrics ate into VW's profits last year. Margins at its core VW brand slipped to 3.8%, down from 4.2% the year before.
Brexit hasn't happened quite yet, but the fallout is happening for Britain's financial services. More than 275 financial firms are moving a combined $1.2 trillion in assets and funds and thousands of staff from Britain to the European Union. That from a report by the new financial think tank, which says Dublin alone accounted for 100 relocations ahead of Luxembourg, Paris, Frankfurt and Amsterdam.
A scandal rocking some top US universities Tuesday and some famous parents as well. 50 people have been charged in a conspiracy ring to get kids into elite colleges under false pretenses, arranging for them to cheat on entrance exams and or bribing college coaches to accept kids for their so-called athletic prowess. Among those charged, 9 college coaches and 33 parents, including Desperate Housewives star Felicity Huffman, also indicted, one-time Full House star Lori Loughlin and her husband, fashion designer Massimo Giannulli.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Thursday. Thursday? Is it Wednesday? It's Tuesday. It's Wednesday. It's March the 13th, and it's 5:11 in the morning. We're at it for another business day and another edition of The Opening Bell getting underway. Lots to cover this morning. You hear a lot of it in the opening montage this morning, from the college cheating scandal to Brexit. Also this morning, we're following the latest on Boeing, some developing news that we'll get to in the story about the 737 MAX 8 aircraft. All of that coming up as we check headlines and business stats this morning. But first, let me tell you what's on the program today. Professor Fraud, a.k.a. William Cressy, will be here this morning, assistant professor at Governor's State University. We're going to be talking a little bit about some of the latest scams that are out there. We'll touch a little bit on this college fraud scam as well. And William will be here in our first segment this morning. We'll bring him in momentarily. A little bit later in the program, Alicia Driscoll will be here. She's the CEO and founder of Evolve Her, and they're launching a new multimedia channel platform called The Glue to amplify women's voices from Chicago. And we will have that at about 5:40 this morning. But first, let's begin on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk. The opening bell rings this morning after Boeing shares had another impact on Wall Street for a second straight day. Shares of the airplane manufacturer fell more than 6% yesterday, a day after closing more than 5% lower. A number of countries have grounded the Boeing 737 MAX, specifically the MAX 8, after the Ethiopian Airlines plane crash on Sunday killed 157 people on board. The new development in this story this morning, just being reported by Agence France-Presse, is that Ethiopia apparently cannot read the black boxes from the airline crash. And so they may be sent abroad for more investigation. Members of the National Transportation Safety Board from the U.S. are there along with Boeing. But again, the breaking news from Ethiopia this morning, apparently the black boxes from that plane crash cannot be read in Ethiopia. They may be sent abroad, possibly to the United States, where more technology on that exists. On the Dow futures this morning, we're looking for a mixed open. Dow futures are down about 8 points this morning. NASDAQ and S&P futures are up just a fraction. In Europe, markets are generally mixed as well. In London, higher by a fraction. In Germany and France, a little bit lower. And in Asia, markets in the red. The Nikkei is going to end the day down nearly a full percent, 213 points. The Hang Seng down nearly a third. The Shanghai off nearly a full percent, down about 33 points. Oil in the U.S. is at $57.44 a barrel. Some other stories we're watching for you. Wells Fargo CEO Tim Sloan says customers can trust the bank giant. During a House hearing yesterday, Sloan insisted that his company is much better at banking than it was 3 years ago. Wells Fargo trying to recover from a series of scandals in 2016 involving phantom bank accounts and unnecessary fees. Sloan was not CEO at the time. He said he has implemented a number of reforms at Wells Fargo. Uber is willing to pay up to $20 million to its drivers in California and Massachusetts as part of a class action lawsuit settlement over the status of its workers. At issue in the 2013 lawsuit is that Uber considers its drivers contractors, not employees, a move that keeps Uber from having to pay health insurance, unemployment, or other benefits. It's the classification that drivers argued left them out without reimbursement for business expenses. The settlement works out to around 37 cents a mile for drivers. Drivers in other states, too, are watching developments in this. Front and center this morning, Professor Fraud, a.k.a. William Cressy, is here this morning. We've got a lot to talk about, the latest scams and frauds out there, and also this college cheating scandal. Let's bring William in this morning. William, good morning. Welcome to the opening bell.
Good morning. It's been an exciting last 24 hours in the world of fraud.
It certainly has. You know, what is the scale? Look at the scale of this college cheating scandal and give us a sense of the size of it in your mind.
Well, I think it's the size of this particular scandal is fairly large, the number of people involved, and again, just the names and the positions of the people involved. Certainly the two that make the headlines are the two actresses, Felicity Huffman and Lori Loughlin. But we also see the co-chairman of one of the nation's biggest law firms. We see lots of folks who are involved in the financial world involved in this. But the question is, and I know Professor Dershowitz was speaking on one of the news channels yesterday, saying that this is just the tip of the iceberg, that there, in fact, could be a lot more similar situations going on at some other schools and with additional people, people willing to spend a lot of money to try and get their children into these, you know, quote-unquote elite schools. Personally, being a graduate of the University of Notre Dame, it does me well to keep hearing the University of Southern California being mentioned.
Yeah, and the, you know, the significance, the sophistication, I guess, is the word I'm trying to use of the fraud is, too, just mind-boggling. I was reading one of the full stories on this. They even, some of them photoshopped pictures of the kids' heads onto athletes so that the college coaches would be fooled, I guess, or that somebody would be fooled. Have you ever seen that level of fraud?
Oh, goodness, yes. In other types of frauds, you'll see, you know, amazing levels of sophistication. But this was really, there were so many tentacles to this, so many different ways. You know, one is, if you pointed out, in a number of these situations, it was a situation where they bribed the coaches of, usually not like football, that would be a little too obvious, but these secondary sports, you know, crew and sailing at Stanford and water polo was another one, where you could probably get away with, you know, taking a student and getting it past an admissions committee when the coach says, oh, this one's a top sailing student. It wasn't so much to fool the coaches because they were getting bribed. It was to fool the admissions committee. They throw into the portfolio these photos of the student. Well, Lori Loughlin's daughter was photographed on a rowing machine, and they were convinced that she was on a crew team. So that doesn't surprise me. I've seen, you know, more complex, more sophisticated schemes. But then, as I say, the number of different ways. There was with the child of the attorney. They controlled one of these testing centers where they had the child go in supposedly for testing. The child was then there was a finding that there were some like learning difficulties, which allowed the student to take the standardized tests, get extended time to do it with a proctor, and apparently the proctor also changed the answers or may have actually taken the test itself. And one of the really strange things is a lot of times the students didn't know this was going on. They were totally lost that this was how they got admitted into these schools. Yeah. So it's very bizarre. There seems to be more facts coming out almost even overnight. There were things coming out. So this is something to watch, and it'll be interesting to see if the Justice Department have any other leads. Very often when you get a high-profile case like this, it will lead to other people, as we used to say, dropping a dime and reporting other universities and other coaches and other testing centers who might be doing something similar.
William, we have about 30 seconds before the break here, but I want to ask real quickly on this. Who are the real victims in this case?
Number of victims, certainly the students who did not get admission to these schools despite working hard, despite being stellar athletes, despite being excellent students, did not get admitted to these universities because their slot was taken by one of these other ones who got in through fraud.
Professor Fraud, I love calling you that, by the way. What are the biggest scams and frauds on your radar screen right now?
Okay, we see a real uptick going on in various phone scams. In fact, Cook County Sheriff Tom Dartz even warned of one. People getting called and being told that they're getting called by Apple, that somebody has broken into their iCloud account or their Apple account, and please give us your username and Apple passwords. And while you're at it, why not give us some of your financial institution information as well? Some people fall for this, and they give out that information, and that is just one way that the scammers can separate you from your money. We also had recently, last week, Rush Hospital, a data breach at Rush. Approximately 45,000 patients were affected and included in the information that was stolen there, included names, Social Security numbers, and those are the keys to the kingdom for an identity thief. With that, they can go out and open up accounts under your name and exploit your good credit rating. So we see a number of these calls. We see with tax season coming, we're getting the folks that call and say they're from the IRS and you haven't paid your taxes and they're on their way over to arrest you unless you send them some money, very often through the form of an Apple iTunes card. Folks, no, the IRS does not take gift cards and payment, and if they're coming to arrest you, they're not going to call you in advance. So just hang up on those. So we're seeing a lot of that. Interesting story, if you remember about 17 months ago, we had the massive data breach at Equifax. Almost 150 million files were stolen from Equifax, and the development on that is, so far, none of those files seem to have surfaced anywhere. In checking the dark web, you would expect to see those files being brokered out on the dark web. Not happening. Some experts are now saying that this may indicate that that breach was in fact done by a nation state, an espionage or intelligence service that's building up a database of Americans to potentially use against us in cyber warfare or cyber sabotage, sometimes called cybertage. And then we've got the failure again in Great Britain of Brexit. Whenever you see one of these major stories, the fraudsters come out of their holes and will exploit that by saying that because of Brexit, they've got somebody who's trying to get their money out of England, and if you give us your financial information, we will deposit some of it into your banking account. I'm expecting to see some scams along those way, along that. But you name it. The wonderful thing about being a professor in the area of fraud is it's constantly changing. It's constantly a battle of wits against the fraudsters. So it's fun, as long as you're not a victim of it, fun area to study.
The Equifax breach is interesting. I know that, a lot of people are breathing a sigh of relief now, but that's not something that we should let our guard down on, is it?
No, not at all. I mean, that is information that, you know, when they have your name and Social Security number, that can come back to haunt you, well, until you're dead. So you should never breathe a sigh of relief there. It's just a matter of time before this is used, whether it's by some retail fraudster or a nation state intelligence service. It can be used against this, but I mean that's a lot of information out there that can be used. So I would say anyone who was affected, and goodness, half of the American population was affected, it's a good idea to keep being vigilant, keep monitoring your credit ratings and your credit reports. Use the monitoring services that are being offered or subscribe to those that are out there. I think we're going to consider monitoring services and things like that, services that are now available for looking into the dark web, see if your name and information is popping up there. That's going to be about as common as life insurance or health insurance in the future. You just have to have it.
Yeah, it sounds like it. William, it's good of you to be with us this morning. Thank you.
Great to be on with you. And, hey, have me back because, fraud never sleeps.
We will certainly. William Cressy this morning, Professor Fraud. You can find more on his website at professorfraud.com.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning again, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Wednesday edition of The Opening Bell. The Chicago co-working space for women called Evolve Her is launching a new multimedia channel called The Glue to amplify women's voices. We're happy to have with us Alicia Driscoll this morning, founder and CEO of Evolve Her. Alicia, good morning. Welcome to The Opening Bell.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Well, this must be an exciting time for you because not only is Evolve Her moving forward, but you're launching this new effort called The Glue. Tell us about it.
Yes. So we are in our second year, just celebrated our anniversary. And as a kind of natural extension, we are launching a media platform that really is created to amplify voices of women around the world and to give them a space to contribute content and to connect them as well.
So what is the vision here? What do you hope will be on the channel? What kinds of things?
Yeah, so we really focus on all aspects of life and going deeper and having deeper conversations and really showcasing different perspectives and tips and resources that you need to build your business, to support you as a working mom, and to just allow people to really learn from each other. There's so much value and information that we can share, and so we wanted to create a hub to bring it all together.
It's sort of the working space becomes now a real community, doesn't it?
That's exactly right. So we looked at the model, and we were looking at expanding in other cities, but we felt like there's so many great spaces that already exist in these cities, and we really felt like, how can we bring them all together and represent those unique values and those unique localized information and resources that they all have and their expertise. And so by creating this, we showcase some of the content from them and different, leaders in different cities. And then we also go to different thought leaders and different CEOs and businesses and really bring them all together into one house. So instead of having corporate and entrepreneurs separate, this is the house to bring them all together.
As you look to do this, what was it that helped drive the decision to launch The Glue? Was there an absence of proper communication, proper community among women?
There really was. I mean, we've had this huge shift that's happened over the past couple of years, with women coming together and their voices, starting to really unite. And when that's happened, there's been this drive for women who are seeking collaboration over competition. And so with that, we've seen people really helping each other out and really looking at things differently from a community standpoint. And then we've seen these, surgeons of all these different women's spaces like Evolver popping up across the country. And there's nothing really to tie them together. There's all these women's groups. There's nothing to tie them together. And so felt there was a big gap in the marketplace of, how do we provide a space that connects all these communities, allows women to interact, across the country or around the world, and to see these different perspectives. And then also, as a small business owner, one of the biggest challenges you have is really to be seen. Like, your marketing budgets are small. You don't have a lot of distribution. And so if we can give a platform to women to where they can distribute their content, they can write for us, they can, give out free resources, and we can allow them to be seen and kind of amplify their voice and amplify their brand for them, then it's a win-win. And then on the flip side, you have, people who are looking for these resources, and there's so much stuff out there. I mean, you go online and it's just, a plethora of information. And so if we can go through and actually vet some of this and be the credible source to simplify that journey, that's a win-win for us.
I know it's just getting off the ground, but do you have hopes for this becoming more than just a sort of a blog? It's going to become more of a place to not only meet, but become mentors, perhaps, not only share ideas, but perhaps make connections for actual real projects?
100%. It's really about building that community. And while it's massive, on the national and the global level of all these people coming in, the idea is to then break that down on the local level. And so then you can go in, you can find kind of these mini groups that are either specific to location or to your specific industry or niche. So you can go deeper with those conversations, work with mentorship, mastermind, and the resources along that as well.
Is the Glue up and running? Is it live now today?
It is. You can go check it out at weartheglue.com. We just launched last week, International Women's Day. We had a video, and we had women from all around the world come together in the video to kick off the launch. So we're very excited. It's up live now with a lot of content. And then the second half of the year, you'll see some of the new features rolling out.
Very nice. So tell us about, you mentioned this is the second anniversary of Evolve Her. Talk to us a little bit about why it's been a success and what void it has filled here in Chicago.
Yeah, I worked in corporate for 17 years, and when I was transitioning over and started doing consulting and really moving into this entrepreneurship space, and I wanted to focus on really supporting women and girls in this next chapter of my career. And when I was doing that, I realized that there are so many great women's groups and such a really cool entrepreneur vibe in Chicago of women that are really smart, really ambitious, and just being around that energy is contagious. So I created Evolver for that purpose of bringing women together. And it's been amazing just seeing all the different groups that have come in. So I formed a lot of partnerships before we launched with different women's groups and bringing them into the space and just kind of getting that word of mouth out within, the corporate circuit, within the entrepreneur circuit, within the political circuit. It's really become a destination for women, for anything female forward, really, as far as events. And then we also rent it out for corporate offsites and that kind of thing at night. And so by having this business model that focuses on events and then also memberships where women can come in and co-work out of the space and they can, connect and attend all the different events that we have, it's really driven a lot forward. We had over 350 events last year, so it was a very busy year with multiple events a day, which was very exciting. And then, with all these different groups coming together, it's just been a great connecting place. And, we've had quite a different range of political leaders locally and nationally that have come through, and those are really focused on just the ones that support advancing policy for women and girls, because at the end of the day, like, our goal is to drive true equity and true equality for women.
And those are really good tones to celebrate Women's History Month and Women's Day as well. You mentioned earlier that you were happy with just this one location, so do we expect to not see expansion, or is that still on the radar screen?
So right now we just expanded locally. So we actually expanded next door, a few doors down. So we have some offices there. So the original space is shared workspace, so women can come and, you know, use floating desks and that kind of thing. But now we have some actual offices for teams and individuals, and then we just launched our podcast studio over there as well. So we're really focused on these locations, and then we formed strategic alliances with the different spaces across the nation. So now our members not only can visit our space, but if they're traveling for work or if they have family and certain areas, we actually are giving them access to these other spaces. So it's a really cool way for our women to be able to embrace the cities that they go to and have localized connections. And then also, you know, kind of that concierge type of thing where they know the best local restaurants and the best, you know, local network and that kind of thing. So that's our approach, is to really, you know, they all have these unique personalities, and instead of going out there and making everyone a evolver, we really wanted to unite with them and to elevate, you know, amplify their voices and their story to our audience.
And this is a really wonderful location as well, the River North neighborhood. It's up there on Ontario, 358 West Ontario, I believe. That's a perfect location.
But we'd love it there. It's, you know, it's a quiet street, but it's right in the heart of the city, and we've got a lot of good stuff accessible around there on the highway, and the transportation is really easy to get to. So it's been nice for our members, and parking's easy too, which is always good in the city, right?
Well, Alicia, we appreciate you being with us this morning. Continued success to you, and all the best, and please come back and join us.
Thanks so much for having me, Steve. Have a good day.
You too. Alicia Driscoll, CEO and founder of Evolver. You can find them online at evolver.community. And also online, the new effort as well is called, the link to that is online at, let me make sure I'm going to tell you the right thing, weartheglue.com. Again, weartheglue.com, the new multimedia channel that was launched by Evolver.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, futures are pointing toward a flat open on Wall Street later this morning. Dow, NASDAQ, S&P futures all either up a fraction or down just a fraction. Now, agriculture and commodities. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Well, good morning, Steve. A quick look at the Mercantile Exchange yesterday. Lean hog futures rallied to a two-month high, the third straight day of gains. Live cattle futures, however, were weaker. And in the overnight trade at the Board of Trade, Chicago wheat futures slid overnight as the market took a breather after yesterday's biggest one-day gain in 7 months, triggered by fund buying and technicals. Soybeans rose for a second straight session, and the most active wheat contract in the overnight trade down about 0.06 of a percent. And yesterday, of course, up 5.7%. So coming up this week is National Agriculture Day, Washington, D.C. That will be on Thursday. Max Armstrong will be there. And then the Leland Farm Equipment Consignment Sale this weekend, and the Sublet Toy Show and Antique Tractor Show will take place in Sublet, Illinois. A busy weekend going into St. Patrick's Day. From a rather cool 51-degree report in Scottsdale, you have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. You too. Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Wednesday, March the 13th. Durable goods orders for January and February. Producer Price Index topped the economic report today. Analysts are forecasting a 0.1% decline in durable goods orders. Smart Money sees the producer price index increasing 0.2%. Both those reports out mid-morning. Construction spending for January is due out as well. Building industry analysts expect a 0.5% increase in spending, bouncing back from December's 0.6% decline. Also, MBA mortgage applications today. The EIA petroleum status report is due out, and e-commerce retail sales numbers as well. And on the earnings calendar, Tailored Brands releases its earnings. Those are just some of the things that could move the markets on this Wednesday, March the 13th.